This is your daily news fix, the Daily Brief, right here on RCR.
Good afternoon. It's Friday, January 31st, and you're listening to the RCR Daily Brief, your roundup of the day's biggest news. I'm Megan McNamara, and we've got a great lineup for you today. Bringing us the latest headlines, we've got Jennifer Bainbridge with the news. RCR political editor William McGimsey will join us to give us his thoughts on a couple of the biggest news stories. Then Natalie Cutler-Welsh is here for RCR Signpost, bringing us the latest on new interviews dropping, key campaigns, and how you can take action. Let's get started.
Good afternoon, I'm Jennifer Bainbridge with the latest RCR news. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. faced a fiery confirmation hearing for his nomination as Health and Human Services Secretary. Democrats criticised Kennedy over his comments about the COVID vaccine, his claims linking childhood vaccines to autism, his analysis of the US food industry, and his views on the role of pesticides in the rise of transgenderism. Kennedy rejected accusations that he was anti-vaccine, saying he wanted more studies to ensure their safety. He called the label dishonest and rebuffed claims that he was a conspiracy theorist, arguing that the term was used to silence difficult questions about powerful interests.
I got a real quick question for you. Are you a conspiracy theorist?
That is a pejorative, Senator, that's applied to me. Mainly to keep me from asking difficult questions of powerful interests. I was told that I was a conspiracy theorist. That label was applied to me because I said that the vaccines, the COVID vaccine, didn't prevent transmission and it wouldn't prevent infection when the government was telling people, Americans, that it would. I was saying that because I was looking at the monkey studies in May of 2020. I was called a conspiracy, now everybody admits it. I was called a conspiracy theorist because I said red dye caused cancer. And now FDA has acknowledged that and banned it. I was called a conspiracy theorist because I said fluoride lowered IQ. Last week, JAMA published a meta review of 87 studies saying that there's a direct inverse correlation between IQ loss.
All right, so I'm going to assume
I could go on for about a week.
Conservative commentators praised his performance, with Charlie Kirk saying he crushed it. Kennedy repeated his slogan, "Make America Healthy Again," to wide applause. The committee will ask Kennedy another round of questions in a second hearing today. Back home, New Zealand First's Shane Jones has claimed mineral firms and regional businesses were being debanked by woke banks under pressure from climate groupies pushing a fake ideology. Jones will reportedly speak in Waihi Coromandel today about imposing conditions on banks' licences to operate. ACT MP Mark Cameron also criticised banks for neglecting rural communities in the name of climate action. Climate Change Minister Simon Watts, meanwhile, has announced a new emissions reduction target of 51 to 55% below 2005 levels by 2035. The goal builds on the 50% target for 2030 and is aimed to help achieve the so-called net zero goal by 2044. Watts said the plan will encourage clean energy investment, innovation and productivity. The government's new school lunch program has launched with a few unfortunate teething problems, managed by UK multinational Compass Group. The scheme aimed to serve 230,000 daily meals priced at $3 each, while saving $130 million annually. However, some schools reported long delays in deliveries, with one waiting until 2:50 p.m. for meals. Associate Education Minister David Seymour has pledged improvements. Turning back to international news now, and a mid-air collision between a Black Hawk helicopter and an American Airlines commercial plane over Washington, D.C., sent the two aircraft plunging into the frigid Potomac River. While rescue teams search for 64 missing people, officials say there is little hope of any survivors. In a press conference about the crash, President Donald Trump raised the wider issue of diversity requirements, lowering the quality of pilots. In a major policy reversal, the Trump administration, meanwhile, has re-entered the Geneva Consensus Declaration, which opposes abortion as a human right. The 2020 agreement initially included 36 nations, but now has 40 signatories promoting maternal health and national sovereignty over abortion laws. The Biden administration withdrew the declaration in 2021. China's tech giant Alibaba has unveiled the Qwen 2.5 Max AI model, claiming it outperforms all rivals. The release is the second AI breakthrough in a week. Queen is partly open source and reportedly surpasses DeepSeek V3 and ChatGPT, the US-based model from OpenAI. The announcement triggered a sharp market reaction, causing US tech company NVIDIA to lose $589 billion in one day. And now for RCR Quick Links. 9 years of Crown negotiations with iwi of Taranaki about historical grievances have concluded. The US was the second largest export destination for Kiwi goods in 2024, with a total value of $9 billion. Ministers have welcomed Housing New Zealand's decision to allow wool carpet suppliers to bid on tenders. US President Donald Trump has signed an executive order directing all federal agencies to look into deporting anti-Semitic resident aliens. Alternative for Deutschland leader Alice Weidel said it was a historic day for Germany after a vote on asylum claims rocked the country's parliament. And Meta has agreed to pay $25 million to settle a lawsuit from Donald Trump after his January 6th suspension. And that's the latest RCR News. I'm Jennifer Bainbridge.
Now for a closer look at what's been happening in the House during Parliament's first week back, and for some discussion around what constitutes hate speech and what doesn't, here's William.
Thanks, Megan. The action in Parliament's debating chamber kicked off with a bang this year, with New Zealand First getting into a spat with the Greens over racism. Let's take a listen to some of the comments from this week.
The very people who are here on the very refuge that we give to them have come here with their ideas foreign to our country, native to theirs, and they wish to impose them upon our parliament. No, you don't.
This is not about our feelings. It's about the harm that these comments can cause outside of these four walls, the fact that it emboldens people who wish to harm our communities, and it just takes a page from the Trump playbook that has ostracized and divided communities across the world.
You're the Deputy Prime Minister and the Minister for Foreign Affairs, and you're saying to people who have migrated to Aotearoa to make Aotearoa your home, and to say, oh, we know you're kind, and you won't get away with coming here and changing the way we do things. That is, that's appalling.
To me, this debate highlights an important dividing line in our politics, that between globalism and nationalism. Many RCR listeners are concerned about globalism. They see our sovereignty being chipped away by international agreements, our economy growing increasingly dependent on multinational corporations, our culture being undermined by wokeness, and our people being replaced via mass immigration. The belief of nationalists is that a government should put the needs of its own citizens first. However, to globalists, this consists of a form of discrimination against people on the basis of nationality. Where you stand on this issue will determine whether you agree with Winston that we shouldn't stand for being lectured by the Greens about their woke globalist agendas, or whether you think that New Zealand First are quote-unquote racist. In the background to the drama in Parliament, John Minto and his IDF tip-off line have been burbling away in the background. The idea behind Minto's tip-off line is to bring attention to what he believes is a genocide being committed by the IDF in Gaza, and let IDF personnel know they're not welcome here. Meanwhile, someone has complained about Minto's hotline to the Human Rights Commission, claiming that it violates the human rights of IDF members visiting New Zealand because it is racist or discriminatory. Human Rights Commissioner Stephen Rainbow has issued a statement condemning Minto's hotline and asking for it to be shut down. Notably, he made no comments about Israeli military activity in Gaza. Here's John Minto.
This issue is in the hands of the government, and our government has done nothing effective to put pressure on Israel to end the genocide in Gaza. And I should say at the outset, this genocide will continue in about 4 weeks' time when the current ceasefire ends. And so we've got a window of opportunity now to put much more pressure on Israel so that it continues with the ceasefire rather than goes back to war. So what we're saying is that, New Zealand wouldn't accept Russian soldiers here for rest and recreation after the invasion of Ukraine, and we shouldn't accept Israeli soldiers here fresh from a genocide in Gaza. There's been industrial-scale killing of Palestinians in Gaza. No one involved in that army should be allowed into New Zealand.
Graham Edgler has been engaging on the issue on social media, claiming that what Minto is doing isn't against the law, and accusing the politicians who have been weighing in over it, including ex-Simon Court, of getting very close to supporting hate speech restrictions. Paul Brennan caught up with Graham yesterday. Here's part of what he had to say.
A lot of people don't like what John Minto has been campaigning against.
I don't like it either.
But that's kind of in free speech terms, if it's not illegal, that's kind of too bad, isn't it?
Yeah, I've looked at it. You know, I don't rule out that someone might do something illegal, and I don't know what else they're doing. But the publication of that image, I can't see anything illegal there. We do have some quite narrow hate speech laws in New Zealand. It would not be covered by either of them. It's not intimidation. It's not harassment. You know, the other types of offences that people might think of, it's not incitement. And just, you know, some people might want it to be illegal or might want the police or the Human Rights Commission to have some sort of powers here. They don't under the current laws. And that's mostly what I've been trying to tell people. It's like, if you want the law to deal with something like this, you're going to need a law change.
You can catch Paul's full interview with Graham Edgler on the RCR website or app. In recent years, there's been a fierce battle waged in New Zealand and in other Western countries between defenders of free speech and those who want more hate speech laws. It seems like what we're seeing here is the compromise position, legally allowing so-called hate speech, but using the Human Rights Commission to issue official condemnations of it. What's interesting here is that what John Minto is doing is very similar to what the Human Rights Commission does. That is, highlight a potential human rights issue and bring the moral opprobrium of the community to bear on the perpetrators. Are they really so different? Back to you, Megan.
Thanks, William. Certainly a lot to think about there. Now, shifting gears, there's a lot happening behind the scenes at RCR, from new interviews dropping daily to various campaigns we're running. Natalie joins us now to give us all the details.
Thanks, Megan. Great to be here for The Signpost, where we keep you up to date on the latest interviews, key conversations, and how you can take action. First up, Rodney Hyde is back on RCR. He's breaking down Helen Clark's amplification of media claims that Elon Musk is a Nazi, calling it a political smear aimed at Trump, and showing how platforms like X challenge the mainstream media's narrative. Definitely one to check out. Also today, Paul Brennan has two big conversations lined up. He speaks with Graham Edgler about the controversy surrounding John Minto's hotline, what it means for human rights, free speech, and so-called hate speech laws in New Zealand. Plus, Paul sits down with Michael Connett, the U.S. lawyer leading the charge against fluoride, who's here in New Zealand speaking on a tour across 9 locations in the North Island. Also on my Up Your Brave interview with cell biologist, speaker, and author Bruce Lipton, that is available today on the RCR app. Just look under Latest. Bruce and I chat about the biology of belief, the three processes to change the program, and energy psychology. And you can also catch Bruce in person in New Zealand in March. And don't forget, there's still time to have your say on the gene technology bill. You can head to genetechgamble.co.nz, where you can download and share resources, access a feedback template, and catch up on expert analysis from our RCR special webinar replays. The government decision isn't locked in yet. Your voice definitely counts. We'll see you next time. That's it from me today. Megan, back to you.
And that wraps up today's RCR Daily Brief. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend, and we'll catch you on Monday with more news and analysis. Until then, see ya.